We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast brought to you by SoRare. Are you looking for NFTs that are both fun and have actual utility? Then you should try SoRare, which is the largest NFT-based fantasy game. You can collect, trade, and compete with officially licensed digital cards of soccer players from over 160 clubs on SoRare. That's SoRare.com. I am Andrew Laird, Senior Soccer Editor of RotoWire, joined on this Friday, August 27th by Ryan Belongi and Jordan Cooper to talk about Saturday's Premier League slate. Jordan, I was just asking Ryan if he was aware of the huge news today that's going around the Premier League that Moussa Sissoko has gone to Watford.
For 10 million pounds, right? 10 million pounds?
Will right, Hughes that's the big news. Gone.
Apparently financial fair play. They should be looking into that, overpaying for Moussa Sissoko.
It's. I think they now have 75 defensive midfielders over in Watford, so we'll deal with that in a little bit. No, we're here to talk about Saturday's Premier League slate. When I first saw the pricing, and I made this joke on Twitter expecting them to change the pricing, I didn't, but it looks like showdown pricing, possibly even some captains in the regular classic slate. The more I looked into it, I felt it wasn't quite as egregious, but when you see Michael Antonio at 11-6, I had two thoughts on this. And the first was like, that's absurd. And the second one is, I think Ryan is going to tell me that it's an okay guy to play in GPPs because like only someone crazy would pay that much for Michael Antonio.
they made West Ham like, oh, they're Man City on this slate. Like it just, same for Leicester. Some of these Leicester prices are a little too much. Like last week, we had Man City as a minus God knows how much favorite. I mean, the biggest favorite on this, I mean, West Ham's at home and they're minus 183. I mean, like that's 63% something to win.
Are you sure
Leicester's
it's not?
Minus 113. Newcastle's is a slight favorite plus even money plus 150. Brighton plus 136. Aston Villa plus 103. It's like, yes, in comparison, West Ham and Leicester are the bigger favorites, but it's not like they have three totals, and it's not like they should be this high priced in comparison to other teams. I feel like Aston Villa and Newcastle and the other favorites are actually like in comparison underpriced.
Yeah, Antonio's price really sticks out when I first opened the slate. To quickly answer your question, Andrew, I would say, yeah, the higher Antonio's price goes, like the more tempted I would be to play him. You're right.
Do you think in GPP, Ryan, that's the main question I was going to ask you, because we'll either get a situation where people will look at the goal scoring odds. They'll look at who's the biggest favorite on the slate? And I'm not necessarily talking about sharp players. I'm just talking about just general players in the lobby and go, why aren't I taking frontline players from the highest, biggest favorite on the slate? Why aren't I Bowen, Antonio, Cresswell at 7K at defense? Why, why aren't I doing that? Is your attitude that, well, people will be kind of smarter and say there's no way that I could pay 11.7 for Antonio, and he ends up being like 6% owned in GPPs?
Yeah, well, that's the idea. If I actually, I still think people are going to pay for him a little bit. I guess I was wondering what you guys think his ownership was going to be. Obviously, it's going to be lower, and yeah, that tempts me to play him. If no one was going to play him, if he's going to be like 10% or something, yeah, I definitely have some interest. I think the prices in some other spots are a little soft, so you can make lineups that have Antonio without sacrificing too much. And, you know, just looking at the slate without the prices, West Ham are in the best spot, at least arguably. I think they're in the best spot, them and Leicester at least. So, yeah, if no one's going to play Antonio, I'll play him. He's been in great form, you know, coming off a brace, killed in the first game too. I don't know. I think people are going to play him though. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think in general, directionally, Antonio will be lower owned in the 555 and higher owned in the $20 GPP.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree.
But you're not playing him in cash.
No.
No.
Andrew, looking at the slate for cash, I think they're going to be a lot different lineups in cash games. I don't think there's one clear style of cash build. I think there will be some that will choose to go double pay up at forward and play something like Bowen plus Gross.
Yep.
And I think there will be other lineups that either play one of them or actually do the dinky do and pay up in midfield and defense the whole way through. I'm not sure which side I'm on, but I think I may lean towards the dinky do.
So seeing when you open up the slate and Michael Antonio is like 11.7 and he comes into the cash conversation when he's like 6,700 because he has like a really solid floor. And so that price, like, you can't possibly play him in cash. Like, I just don't see the justification to do it. But so when I saw that and I'm like, oh, and Gross is 10,000 and I'm like, it's going to be impossible to make a cash lineup on this slate. And then I just started going through, and you mentioned it a little earlier, like the Villa guys seem like they're a little underpriced. The Newcastle, Southampton have players that we always want to play in cash. And the more I went through it, I think there's like a very clear balanced lineup that you can build. And there are a few players in and out. Like, I think I don't think paying up for two forwards will end up being optimal. And I think a more balanced is going to be more optimal than either the dinky do or two high priced forwards. But I don't know if it's so much more optimal that it becomes popular, if that makes sense.
But would you consider, Andrew, if price wasn't an issue at forward, you'd play Gross and Bowen?
Yes.
Okay. So if you're not going to play both of them and you're going to play one of them, which one would you play?
I sided on the side of Bowen.
Okay. I agree with you.
I just think like he's in a better spot game wise and he's cheaper. So I'm not sure why. I don't know what the argument is for Bowen. Excuse me, for Gross.
No, over the Bowen. Argument for Gross is that he always gets there.
Right, right. That's my argument. Right. Yeah. No, I think you're more likely to play both of them than play Gross instead of Bowen.
Now, below those guys, I think you have a bunch of options that have higher floors, but you also have good goal scoring chances from some of these guys. Like, let's just put it out of the way. You're not playing Vardy in cash. You're not playing Calvert-Lewin, probably 7,600. But Danny Ings has the highest anytime goal scoring odds. If you were going to play Antonio, why not just play Ings in cash? But do you even think someone like Ings someone like Callum Wilson? Do you think Adam Armstrong, like these guys that are more center forward, goal dependent, at their prices are worth playing? Or would you rather play guys in that range? Like if Townsend's in at 8,500, I think that's a little pricey. Richarlison, El Ghazi, St. Maximin instead of Wilson. He's a little bit more active on the ball. I mean, Zaha at 6,400. And then we get down to the even lower range. I look at like Mbeumo at 5,800. I'm like, here's a guy that gets peripherals that share a set pieces. And he's 5,800 and he fills a forward spot.
I think he's going to be like top three most popular forward in cash. Like I think
if you're all the other guys.
If you, yeah, I think if you dinky do, he's one of them. And if you pay up for one and pay down for one, he's the pay down one. But like all those guys in between, like you mentioned the ones that you would consider, obviously, like Townsend. Townsend is probably the only one that's like traditional cash amongst that group. I guess you can throw Richarlison in. But I don't know how you justify paying up for all those guys when Zaha is 6,400. And I realize that he's the biggest underdog, but like he's the biggest underdog because West Ham is the best team on this slate. It's not like it's a horrific matchup. And Zaha at 6,400, I think is fine, even in cash.
But we got other people also. I mean, like from a dinky-do perspective, if you're going to pay down twice, we have to see if Rajiska starts for Norwich. You got Leandro Trossard there at 5,300. He's not like the worst option. But then we also have like Almiron at 4,600. Dare I say Theo Walcott at 4,300 if he starts. I mean, these are active, mostly wide players that, you know, they're not the best, but I mean, if they were only midfield eligible, they're not like horrible plays for that price, for 4K, 5K, that they do have upside. They can bail you out, and they do get peripherals. That is it worth playing a 7K guy that's yeah. more goal-dependent than play a 4K guy? That's why – do I think that you're playing something like Almiron and Bueno? Maybe not. I'm not sure if you need to go down that low. But I think there's way more ways for me to build a cash lineup that pays down at forward than it does pay up at forward. Because then now you're being stuck playing midfielders. Like now you're playing those same guys that are forward eligible, but now you have to force them in a midfield spot where you'd rather pay up for another midfield option or two, like James Ward-Prowse or Emi Buendia. And then you have defenders that are worth, like on this slate, I think a cash build probably has three defenders in it. And then am I going to be stuck playing Guaita in goal? Like I just see this. There's so many more paths to a good median lineup with cheaper forwards. Maybe not fully cheap, but cheap enough. Zaha and Bueno, something like that. Then Gross plus Bowen, or even one of those two with a cheaper guy.
Yeah, I agree. I just think paying up for two leaves you too exposed in the other positions. Like you're desperately trying to find multiple pay. Like I don't think you can pay up for either. Like I think everybody's going to play James Ward-Prowse, so we can just like get that out of the way. So it's like, do you want to pay up for two forwards and James Ward-Prowse? So now you're basically paying down at both defenders, likely goalie, and possibly that other midfield spot. So like, that's why I think Mbeumo is going to be so expensive or so popular.
And then in cash games at defense, I know it's just like running through cash lineups before we talk about GPPs. Defense is loaded.
Yeah.
Like I think the top, if I had to pick two for my cash lineup, it's going to be Richie and Dina. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think they're better than any midfielder in their price range also.
I'm hesitant to play Cresswell at 7,000. But, I mean, he has a floor, but, I mean, share a set pieces for the supposedly biggest favorite. Canos, 6,200. Similar situation. Underdog, split a set pieces. But I think we have some cheaper options at defense also. That I think you could play one of the Aston Villa defenders, either target. I mean, I'd love to play Ashley Young if he's playing forward. But, I mean, I don't mind him playing.
He didn't last week, though.
Right, I know. But, I mean, I don't mind at 4,100 to,
yeah, agreed,
to play him as a fullback. At, yeah, at, when he's defender eligible, when he's midfield eligible, that's a different story. That was last week. I think Perreault on Southampton, Matty Cash at 4,700, target, if he's in instead of Young. And then we have down here, we have like Livramento.
I was going to say, I think he's the best one, actually.
Okay, well, I'm saving it. That's why I'm running through it. You have to tease people. And then we have a toss-up, like we don't know until Saturday. I don't expect him to start, but Ryan Bertrand's 3,900. But he's back in training, off the COVID protocols. I just don't think he's probably fit enough to go 90, so they don't even start him. But if he is in, I mean, based on 2 games ago, he was taking all their set pieces. Even if you told me he wasn't going to be on set pieces, $3,900 for a Leicester fullback seems pretty good to me. Am I missing anyone here? Luke Thomas took 2 corner kicks. Are we overreacting to that?
Well, he played in Bertrand's spot, so I think that almost solidifies that Bertrand would be taking them.
You never know.
No. But yeah, I think, yeah, you laid out perfectly why there are so many defenders you would play. I don't think you mentioned that you think there are going to be a lot of three defender builds. I don't think the three are three expensive ones.
Yes. So I think it'd be 2 expensive and 1, yeah, somewhere between Livramento and 4,500, like 35 and 4,500 type of,
right,
defender. Yet there are midfielders in that range that you could also play instead.
Yep.
I'd rather play the defender with the clean sheet equity in cash games, at least.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable.
I think there are a lot of cheaper level midfielders that are good for GPP. But using one of them in cash, not out of the questions. That I've been doing that more, a little bit more often. I got my bailout goal last week from Damari Gray in cash. Did you think, Andrew, last week, I don't know if you looked at my cash lineup, Did you faint when you didn't see Connor Gallagher in it?
I was surprised. I was surprised. I was curious if you were going
to
play in this.
Sorry to interrupt. Connor Gallagher should have been in your cash lineup, Jordan.
He did well. He got 9 points.
Yeah.
Did he hit it this week?
He also should have scored.
I would have got it. It's still Damari Gray scored. I had Damari Gray and Jacob Ramsey in my cash lineup. Not so.
I think Gallagher is a reason to not play three defenders.
Okay, I could see that.
Yeah, I think so too. If I wanted to just ask you guys, you seem pretty sure about Bowen over Gross.
I'm not sure. I think Gross has a higher floor, but Bowen has more upside to 25 points.
Yeah, I probably agree with you. I think he seems a bit riskier.
Bowen does?
Yeah, to me. I mean, we would have cringed at playing Bowen last year. He'd be on set pieces sometimes, then he wouldn't take any. This happened all the time. He used to get subbed very early. I know it's only been 2 games. Yeah, the matchup's great, but I don't know. I don't just love paying 9.2 for Bowen. I mean, I don't love paying 10K for Gross, but
I was going to say five-digit Pascal Gross is when we start to wonder.
Yeah, that's not good either.
But
yeah.
Ryan, you could take all the problem out of that 1v1 by just not playing either and just playing, you know, 6K average for 2 forwards and then play Ward-Prowse, Buendia, and 3 defenders and then just hope one of the 2 big forwards just – neither of them have 20 plus point games.
Yeah, you could do that too, because I mean, I was just playing around with what I thought I would do for cash, and my lineups had, yeah, a dinky do paying up for one all the way down. I was just using Almiron. I don't see why you can't just go all the way down if you get the other spots, you know, if you get who you want for the other spots, it seems fine.
For those who participate in our Discord, Bernbach is not paying us extra for mentioning Almiron all the time. Just wanted to clear that up. I don't know. I think, are there any midfielders you were looking at other than Ward-Prowse and Buendia and Gallagher? like realistically in terms of like fitting in builds? No, like you want to pay down at forwards for Buendia and Ward-Prowse.
If last piece type of thing, 5,900 John McGinn.
You're not going to play John McGinn over these guys.
No, I'm not over them, but maybe in my utility spot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like I said, it depends on if you're paying up at forward or not. Like that's what I'm saying. It's like there are guys down here. Like, I mean, we'll get into GPP discussion. If he starts, I mean, I must be going full, like Luis Pacheco cash with flair. I'd almost rather play Alexis McAllister over Connor Gallagher in cash.
I think you think Gallagher is much more defensive than he is.
Okay, maybe he's not, but he's also playing. There's 10 teams on the slate, and he plays for the biggest underdog, right? So there's a difference there also. Last week is a different story. Last week, okay, I get it, right? And I chose to not play him, and I still won anyway. I think there's more of a case not to play him on this slate than there was for last slate. Would you at least agree with that?
Yes.
That you'd rather play a $4,500 defender. You'd rather play Matt Cash than Connor Gallagher. You'd rather play Romain Perreault. Like there's more of a case of those types of players being in your build. Or because you're playing them in a defender spot at that price, that you're not even playing a midfielder in that range at all.
Yeah, I don't think I would play Perreault over Gallagher.
I'm with Ryan on this one.
Okay, we agreed too much last week. I have to come with the hot takes.
Yeah, that's good.
What a hot take.
But you have to agree that someone like McAllister is for GPP at 4,400.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fielder that could score a goal, you know, and pay off his salary and then some.
Yeah, like I'm not in love with Gallagher, but I think he's pretty safe for 4,500. Yeah, the matchup isn't great, but he should have like all the set pieces. Like they might not get many, but
I was gonna say all three of them.
Yeah, they'll get some. I mean, it's not like they're playing against Man City.
What happens if Jairo Realwald is back?
Yeah, I think we can. I would still assume that Gallagher takes the sets.
I gotta put holes in something.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's a guy you're like jumping to play. It's not like even for cash. I don't play cash, but he's not like a must in cash. He's an underdog to get to 10 points. So I mean, how much of a lock can he be for 4,500?
That's fair.
Can we get to GPP? Because I have one big question for Ryan in GPP, the biggest question of them all.
Okay.
How much Timu Pukki are you playing at 4,500?
I
actually think there are two guys that I was dying to ask Ryan about, but that was definitely one of them.
Is that where we're going to start or?
Well, I mean, I just typically when we start for GPPs, we're looking for goals, and me and Ryan typically have strategies of find cheap goals. Instead of paying up for them firstly. And we look at the anytime goal scoring odds on the RotoWire soccer cheat sheet, which if you were a subscriber, you'd be able to see. So go to rotowire.com/soccer trial and try it out.
Thank you.
I don't know. Or sign up. I don't know. Is there a trial? I don't even know.
Yes. Free 10-day trial.
Doing the sales pitch, but I'm doing it for him. But you look on that and you see the yellow dots for who's projected to be in the starting lineup. And then you just look at the prices and you go, well, Michael Antonio's 11-7 with +110 goal scoring odds. But the highest are Vardy and Ings, and Vardy's 9,500. Ings is 7,700. But you keep on scrolling and you go, okay, well, you get Callum Wilson, 7,200 +120. Iheanacho, who I'm not even sure. I don't think he's going to start. 9,700 +130. Bowen, 9,200 +175. Timu Pukki, 4,500 +175. So like what stands out there is that he's half the price of Bowen with the same anytime goal scoring odds. if you're going to look for a cheap goal, why wouldn't it be Pookie?
Yeah, I guess if I believed those odds were correct,
then... you don't believe in the odds?
No, I do. yeah, of course. Pookie, 4,500, yeah, for center forward at home against one of the non-big four or non-elite teams, I guess you'd say. Yeah, I don't know. Like, seems like a good play to me. Lets you afford whatever you want. I think he'll garner some ownership. All those Norwich guys are fine. Rashica, Pookie, I don't know. Like, I think there's some other cheap spots to go to as well. But yeah, I'll have a good amount of Pookie. I'm not like too excited about it. Like,
I'm not excited at all about it. But from a mathematical perspective, it like why aren't I playing Pookie? The problem is that Ryan. Here's the question for you from a lineup construction perspective. I like building my lineups with two correlations in them, and they correlate to goals. So are you more likely, because I'm weighing towards one side. You could play Pookie alongside a second Norwich player, like maybe like Max Ahrens at fullback, play Tim Krull in that lineup, and play for the Norwich 1-0 win, you know, that type of game. Or you could play Pookie with no other Norwich player, and play Leicester with them, and play for Norwich losing 2-1, Pookie scoring the cheap goal, you know, when they have to try to come back. Maybe Pookie has 16, 17 points, but, you know, Madison has a goal or Vardy has a goal. And you play the Leicester goal assist combination on the other side, and then you don't play any of the defenders in the game or goalkeeper, obviously, to begin with. To me, I'm more likely to play the Leicester guys then find a second Norwich player that is going to put up a ceiling in this game, because I have to get the assist perfectly, because it's not like I expect Norwich to score two or three goals this game. So I think I'm more likely to miss on the second Norwich player than make a case for Leicester scoring also in the game.
Yeah, I'm definitely on your side with that one. If I played Pookie, he would probably be my only Norwich guy. I would want other Leicester pieces in there, especially if Norwich get a goal. It means Leicester are just going to keep coming until they get at least two goals.
James Maddison is the other guy I wanted to ask about, because like we have crushed him saying that like he's useless without set pieces. We don't expect him to have set pieces, but I don't think we've ever seen him, or at least it's been a very long time since he was 6,400 in a game that Leicester's supposed to be pretty comfortable in. That seems like a fun GPP option to me.
Yeah. It's time to get back on the Madison train, I think. Definitely. 6,400, that's too cheap for this matchup. They're going to create a lot of chances. Doesn't really matter that he's not on sets. I mean, you're playing for him to get involved in a goal, either score or assist.
Right.
The set pieces really aren't that important. I mean, he has a little bit of a floor anyways, but you're not playing him really for that anyways. Yeah, I think he has like the right amount of goal and assist upside in this matchup at that salary. He looks pretty good to me. Just like going back to what Jordan was saying about if you play Pookie, like I wouldn't want to pair him with another Norwich attacker. Like I wouldn't want to use two of my five attacking spots on Norwich. Like you're going to have to get it perfectly. And like, even the guy who gets the assist, he might not be optimal. So yeah, I think just playing Pookie alone seems better to me. Yeah. Madison though, looks great. Sticking with Leicester, Jordan, you said you didn't think Iheanacho was going to start. Who's Leicester's other attacker going to be?
I think that what they're going to do is they will either start Albrighton in that spot, Madison central, Barnes on one side, Albrighton on the other, or they'll play Castagna at right back and play Ricardo Pereira in that spot. It doesn't seem like Iheanacho, when he does play with Vardy, plays centrally, and they've been very hesitant to play Madison wide. So like, I don't see how Madison and Iheanacho play together in a lineup, unless they're going to play 4-4-2 and play with both Iheanacho and Vardy up top. But that means only one of Tielemans or Ndidi could play. And I think they're playing some type of 4-2-3-1 type of system regardless. So just like, I just think Iheanacho is just the odd man out.
Okay.
I think the 4-4-2.
Like works. I said, he could. I don't know. I'm just speculating.
Yeah. The 4-4-2 works if they play Madison out wide. That's all. That's what they have to do. Madison and Ndidi.
When's the last time they've done that?
The last game of last season.
I had to look it up. That's a lot of months ago.
Sure. It's three games ago.
Technically three games. Yeah, you're right.
It seems like Iheanacho deserves a start. Not that that really means anything, but
thankfully we'll know.
Thankfully we'll know. Go ahead.
You want me to tell you who my favorite midfielder plays on the slate are?
Yeah. You're probably going to steal mine. I have one.
I'm going to steal you. Okay, then we'll do one and one. But first, Andrew has this to say.
Do you love sports collectibles or fantasy sports? Because So Rare is blending them together to create an entirely new gaming experience. So Rare cards are officially licensed NFTs from over 160 clubs, including Real Madrid, Paris Saint-Germain, and Liverpool, and built on Ethereum. You truly own your collectibles, and you can use them to win rewards such as new cards or ETH. Join So Rare and connect with your favorite teams, live the game with passion, and earn weekly prizes. That's SoRare.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Jordan, why don't you go first?
Okay. Ryan, is your favorite midfield play on the slate? What team do they play for?
I mean, that's probably giving it away.
No, I don't think so.
You just go first. For me, there's one midfielder that's clearly the best play on the slate.
Okay, well, I don't have a clearly.
Okay.
I'm going to mention someone from West Ham.
Okay.
Am I getting close?
No, but I like that guy a lot, so go ahead.
Okay, are you going to talk about Pablo Fornals?
Definitely.
Pablo Fornals or Thomas Souček.
Mm-hmm.
At 5,600. So basically the guys that aren't absurdly priced on West Ham that fill midfield spots that are more likely to be occupied by James Ward-Prowse and Emilio Buendia. Like, I'm looking for, like, how do I play the guy that is not going to be played in a GPP lineup because of those other players that, Fornals' goal scoring odds are not high, but he's been playing 90 and he's active and he's 2,000 cheap. He's 3,000 cheaper than Benrahma and 5,000 cheaper than Antonio. And Souček is 5,600 and he plays box to box. He shows up in the box plenty of times. He could easily get a goal. He's plus 240 to score. If people are going to make these builds and end up with Antonio in their lineup or even Benrahma in their lineup, I mean, I think West Ham wins. It's just a matter of, I don't want to pay 11.7 for one goal.
Yep.
I don't want to pay those prices for one. So I need two out of those 10K plus players, but I only need one out of Fornals. And Fornals, hey, Antonio could score one. Suchek could score one. And Fornals could be the assist on both of those. And you could play two who's going to play two West Ham midfielders together in a lineup? Probably less likely. Yep. So to me, it's hard for me to say, well, I don't want to play Antonio. I don't want to play Benrahma. I don't want to play Cresswell. All that leads to is a West Ham fade. It's like, I don't see Crystal Palace winning 1-0 or anything. I mean, I think West Ham scores in this game, and I think they score multiple times. I'm just not sure. If there are three goals in this game, Antonio scores one, Benrahma scores one, and Cresswell scores one, it's quite possible all three of them don't even end up in the winning lineup because you possibly got more points from other players at cheaper prices, that it's not really going to matter. So I want to play the West Ham players that when they do score and put up a ceiling game with just a single goal, like they can be in the winning lineup more often than the expensive guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't have really said it better. I love Fornals. Never thought I would say I would love a 7,300 Fornals. I mean, we were struggling to play him last year when he was 4K.
Is that price actually okay, or is it just not nearly as egregious as the others?
It's not as egregious. It's not an okay price.
Right. Exactly.
It seems like it's closer to okay. I mean, if you go back to last year,
I'll agree with you. Yeah.
He's been getting involved in quite a few goals, even back to last season. He had a brace on the last day of the season last year. He plays 90 minutes like all the time. He even has a sneaky floor, at least he has recently. And they're in a matchup at home against Crystal Palace. So I understand that price tag. It definitely doesn't seem egregious. It's a bit surprising, but when you look at, you can take Antonio out, but Benrahma and Bowen, I can't see playing them over Fornals for that much more money. Like you said, those expensive West Ham guys probably need more than a goal in some cases to be optimal. And you want to have a piece of West Ham, like you said, they're in a great spot. Fornals, yeah, absolutely. Suchek too. I don't think anyone, or not anyone, but I don't think many people will play two West Ham midfielders like you said, especially those two. I think that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
So who was you going to talk about?
Okay, so look at the three biggest favorites on the slate. West Ham, their front three, the cheapest one is 9,200. Villa's third, the cheapest of their front three is 76. Look at Iheanacho and Vardy. They're both almost 10K. Then you have Leicester's other forward, who's 6K. So, I mean, Harvey Barnes, to me, if I was just playing this slate against myself without considering anything else like ownership, just trying to score the most points, he seems underpriced. Cheaper than Madison, but more goal upside than Madison. I mean, if Iheanacho was 6K, wouldn't he be a great play?
If he started.
Right, obviously.
Yes, if he started. Agreed.
That's basically what I'm saying. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, Harvey Barnes is Kelechi Iheanacho, 6K, and he's a midfielder. He might be even better.
My only concern with Barnes – no, I agree. I agree with you there. I figured we threw Barnes in kind of that Madison conversation, but we didn't even mention him. Is that Barnes is not playing 90?
Yeah, that worries me too. You know, coming back from a long injury. Iosi's out, so you know, maybe that helps a bit. He did play, he did last almost the full 90 in the Community Shield. But you know, if he has a brace by 60 minutes, they can sub him. That's okay.
Yeah, I want to give credit to Alex here in the chat who saw this Harvey Barnes call coming.
Awesome,
or at least he made it too. Yeah. Yeah, I think everything you said makes total sense. I knew exactly where you're going because I read your article. That's all.
Yeah.
Do we think this Brighton-Everton game is completely ignored? Other than Digne?
I think, well, Gross, obviously. To me, it depends on the status of Maupai. We may end up getting Aaron Connolly playing up top. Maybe is Welbeck. I mean, Welbeck's 7,300, so I don't know about playing him anyway. But I think Connolly really isn't a center forward, right? He's not that center forward type. I have an issue, or at least there's some ambiguity here, of how Brighton will line up without a true set number nine. That isn't the way. I mean, even when Glenn Murray was there, like they always play with some type of center forward. So like, let's say their front line is like, you know, like Gross and Trossard playing up top. Like, I'm not sure how well Brighton play in those types of situations. Now, Everton, I think, is fine. It's just that, like, nothing I don't think, other than Digne, nothing really excites me. You can play Richarlison, can play Calvert-Lewin. Damari Gray is now priced up to 6,600. I guess he's playable.
No.
I mean, for a goal, sure. Yeah, I mean, maybe.
There's no way that you would play Gray over Barnes or Madison.
In GPP, if he's 1% owned, sure, why not? You have to compare the ownership. That's what matters.
I would say only because of your initial question, Andrew, is the Brighton-Everton game going to be overlooked? And for the most part, I would say yes, and especially guys like Damari Gray. He becomes playable just because most people are thinking the same thing you just said. It's just like a quick no way. So a 5% Damari Gray seems okay. But you know, the ownership's going to be that way because this game is like the most unappealing spot, lowest total. Like Jordan said, I agree. That's a good point. I don't think it's talked about that often, but when teams, you know, switch up, say they don't have a center forward and they always play with one, you know, that affects things quite often. And then on the Everton side, Brighton aren't the best team to play against from a fantasy perspective. Brighton like to have a lot of possession, especially at home. The Everton prices, you're not really getting a huge discount at those forwards. With the exception of Luka Digne, I think it'll be overlooked.
So what game environment, if you had to choose the five games and say, I want to get four players, two on each side of this game, which game, regardless of price, because remember, we're talking about GPP, so point per dollar value is not what I'm looking for. Out of the five, it's weird to say that I like the Newcastle-Southampton game first and then the Aston Villa-Brentford game second. And I'm more likely to have like kind of stacky type of lineups of those games rather than West Ham-Crystal Palace and definitely, you know, Brighton-Everton. And the Norwich-Leicester, just that do I really want to play three Norwich guys? Probably not. I just think the Newcastle-Southampton game and the Aston Villa-Brentford game, because of Aston Villa's defense and Newcastle-Southampton, they both don't have the greatest of defenses. I'm looking for, like, Brentford is a decent defense, but Aston Villa is a much better team. I see the Norwich-Leicester game, like, at Norwich going much, Leicester not really, like, if they get one goal, they'll be happy to just sit there and, like, I just see the other games. Yeah, West Ham could score five goals, sure. Yeah, Crystal Palace could just fall over. But do you agree with me that those are the two games that you would look at more for playing, you know, four total pieces from?
Like, it feels weird to say it, but yeah, that Newcastle-Southampton game, I think, is number one for me. If I'm looking to play four players from a game, I think I like all the forwards in that game. Callum Wilson, especially at 7,200. Both guys from Southampton, Armstrong and Che Adams, are 7K, 6,800. Like you said, neither defense is anything special. There should be goals. And the prices, yeah, that they're all, everyone's affordable. That seems like the spot for that. Most of, I found that's where my lineups like ended up going when I started just making a few builds. Aston Villa, Brentford. For me, Villa's, I see a lot of their guys are out still. So it makes it easier to play. I don't like when Villa has like a bunch of, you know, a bunch of good attackers on the bench that they want to bring in. But for this game, the lineup, they don't have much. It should be similar to last game, and those guys should play the majority of the game, and they're all cheap too. So, I do like Villa. That's a good matchup. I just think that game seems a little bit harder to predict. And then, I like the Leicester side, and I like running it back with Norwich too because they're so cheap. It lets you afford everything. I agree with you. Newcastle, Southampton would be my number one spot.
So Adam Zadroik wrote like our weekly betting article and was saying that he thinks that game could go off, the Newcastle, Southampton. I think that game has more fantasy points in it, even if it's scoreless, than the Everton, Brighton, possibly Norwich, Leicester, and Crystal Palace, West Ham. Like, not only, even if that game doesn't go off with goals, I think there's still like tons of fantasy points in it, just the way that those two teams play.
I hope so. I hope you're right for my lineup's sake. But yeah, I agree with you too. I agree with you too.
Like, you need the goals probably for, unless it's an incredibly low scoring slate. But I just think floor wise, the players are better. And so if there are goals, that game will absolutely be the highest scoring game in terms of like total fantasy points.
There are also cheap pieces in that game that could be involved with goals.
Yeah.
So that's also one piece of stacking. Like, I'm not talking necessarily about, I'm going to play Richie Wilson, Ings, Ward-Prowse. Like, that would be like the chalkiest pieces of that game, but also the most expensive pieces. I'm saying maybe make that lineup, but trade Ward-Prowse for Musa Djenepo or Walcott, or instead of playing Wilson. I said Ings because Ings isn't on Southampton anymore, but Adams or Armstrong. You have two forwards for Southampton, two forwards for Newcastle. So instead of playing Wilson, play St. Maximin.
Yeah.
Play Almiron in your forward spot. Play an Almiron Wilson lineup without Richie, and then play Ward-Prowse plus Shea Adam. Like, you could, there's so many more combinations that are reasonably priced of goals that could be possible in that game versus even Aston Villa, because the cheapest piece of the Aston Villa attack is Ramsey, and he's 4,100. So he's fine. But then you get McGinn at 59. Then now we're starting to push up.
Yeah.
Now Alghazi and Buendia and Ings are all 7K plus. So like, I'm going to take two, three of these. Like, well, most of your lineup is already, you know, now they need to score three or four goals in order to make that up. There just aren't as many cheap pieces. Now, there are cheaper pieces on the Brentford side, right? So that run back that you do is okay. It's just that I agree with you. And like West Ham, on the other hand, is like the complete opposite of that.
Right.
Right? Like, it's like, West Ham score three, and I'm going to stack Antonio, Benrahma, Cresswell. And like, I guess you're punting the rest of the spots, because like how do you do that? Like, yes, if they score six goals, you're fine. But one of the things when it comes to like quote stacking games is that, you know, the total price of everything matters. So the more cheap pieces that are attacking players, I'm not talking about playing Wilfred Ndidi, you know, types of players for Leicester. Because even Leicester, like, you take away Vardy, and if Iheanacho plays, their pieces are pretty cheap also. I mean, like, Barnes, Madison, Albrighton, Pereira, if he's in, whoever's in, that's not Vardy. Like, to play the Leicester Norwich type of stack, just with even just Pukki up top or something, like, that's affordable as well.
Yeah. There's a couple questions about, back to the Newcastle Southampton game. Jordan, do you have any reservations about playing Richie and Ward-Prowse in the same GPP lineups?
No, not. I have less of a problem with Richie than I do with. See, this is tough.
The second part of my question was going to be, or what about Ward-Prowse with a Southampton forward? Like, the seems to not correlate together, I guess, is my point.
Well, on set pieces, I guess. I think I'm more. See, the thing that we have to weigh, especially for GPP, because we're dealing with ceilings, is that you've mentioned before, the defender position is the hardest position on the slate to get ceiling score out of, which makes those expensive defenders more valuable. So, like, having Richie without a goal or an assist give me 11 points in peripherals, he may still be the third highest scoring defender on the entire slate, and it's worth it to play him because,
right?
Yeah, 11 points you could get out of a midfielder, but you're forced to play two defenders. But on this slate, we actually have quite amount of defenders you give me 12 points out of a defender spot without a goal or an assist. More likely it's going to be Richie. It's going to be Dina. It's going to be Cresswell. It's going to be Canos. But I mean, I'm already starting to name other defenders, but we could see 12 out of Matt Cash or a Target or Ashley Ward.
Right.
Or yeah. So there are many more defenders on this specific slate that can give me a ceiling, a double-digit point score. Is the value of Richie in a lineup with Southampton players that bust his three-point clean sheet, is it worth it enough? If the defender was like a wasteland, I'd say I just prioritize Richie. I don't really care if Southampton score. And but I meant, maybe I don't.
I meant it more for like – usually got, I don't necessarily want both guys that their floors are so dependent on set pieces when like you want one side of that game to score and take the lead and then the other side to chase. It might hurt the guy who's in the lead that you're hoping to get there with set pieces. But the fact that Richie's a defender,
Yeah, I guess from a defensive standpoint, I don't know what the data is for that, you know, to run the correlation between that, but it does make sense. But I wasn't even thinking of it from those terms. I just think of it from I'm assuming in my GPP lineup that James Ward-Prowse and Richie are both involved in some type of goal, regardless of what the lead is in the game or anything like that. Anyway, the peripherals don't matter as much because if James Ward-Prowse only gives me 10 points, there are going to be other midfielders on the slate that are going to beat him at cheaper prices. But Richie, right. 10 points, maybe it was a little bit more valuable. I think I'm more likely in GPP to fade Ward-Prowse only because it's so obvious. The midfield position on this slate is so obvious. Mm-hmm. But I think Ward-Prowse's ownership is going to be... Actually, I think he's going to be I think his in a vacuum, his ownership is going to make him negative EV.
Yeah, especially I don't love him with the Southampton strikers either. If Southampton forwards, I think it's a good fade as well.
Sorry, go ahead, Ryan.
No, I just I think. You're right about Richie being a defender. Like it just doesn't really matter because he's a defender, and with those expensive defenders, you just need him to hit his 10, 12 points or whatever. Like the other positions, the forward and midfielder is a much more variable position than a defender. If like this is something that I've always done. If you can just take the best two defenders, because you know, it's much more likely that they're going to do what you think they're going to do. I think I can make like as good of a lineup as anyone else with less money. So if you play like expensive defenders, you're just like starting ahead of everybody because no one else is like guaranteed to get there as far as forwards, midfielders, but defenders, they become like closer to guaranteed to get there. If that makes sense.
And they're also technically cheaper than they're supposed to be. Because of their position.
Right.
Like compared to 6K defenders are typically way better than 6K midfielders.
Yes.
And they have clean sheet. They should be switched.
They should be pricing guys like Richie and Dean like at 8,000.
Particularly because of the clean sheet equity they have too.
Right.
Like it is odd that, I mean, it's just that the upsides are usually lower. That's all. But it is weird that they seem to like cap.
And like, they're also like, they're considerably better than the rest of their players in their position a lot of times. Whereas that like doesn't happen at the other positions as often. So it should make them more valuable and hence more expensive, you would think.
Yeah, I like that reasoning. Is there anyone we forgot?
If Billy Gilmore's on sets for Norwich, we don't care, right?
Yeah, no, that's a good shout, though. It seems like he's been on sets the first two games. Yeah. So
I just had to mention him right there because he's the type of player that if it was 2017 would be in like half my lineups and then go, oh, he doesn't do anything else because he's a deep-lying defensive midfielder, and that's pretty much it. But I mean, if people are going to ask, like, who's the cheapest midfielder with set pieces? And it's like, well, probably Billy Gilmore.
Yeah. No, I think that's good to bring up. And you're right. I don't think we have to worry about him. I won't have any Billy Gilmore in my lineups.
If you could not convince somebody that they shouldn't have him, is it necessary to have him with Pookie?
No, I don't think I would like, I don't think so, because to me, his like most likely route to an assist would be to like a center back from a corner kick or free kick or even like to a midfielder on like a little dink pass from midfield or something. And a guy like Rashica or Cantwell makes a long shot or maybe takes it to the house. Yeah, pairing with Pookie feels like you're going to have to get pretty lucky for both of them to be in the optimal lineup.
Right.
So guaranteed goal then.
Guaranteed goal. Yeah.
Just one?
None for Billy Gilmore.
Poor guy.
I don't think we forgot anything. Just one thing I was surprised about last week, I guess, El Ghazi took the penalty over Ings. I think Aston Villa is going to be a popular spot, especially those forwards against Brentford. So that's just something to keep in mind. Definitely have me more interested in El Ghazi.
Yeah, he was taking last year, so it's more that he didn't lose it.
Right, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a good, definitely good observation. All right. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Jordan, you can find him on Twitter at Blenderhead. That's BlenderHD. You can find Ryan at Ryan Belongi, and you can find me at RotoWire Andrew. Also available in the RotoWire Discord, which is open for all subscribers. Just go to rotowire.com/chat to get in there. As Jordan mentioned earlier, you can get a free trial to RotoWire, 10 days, no credit card required, at rotowire.com/soccer trial. So definitely check that out. If you are watching this on YouTube, if you could please hit the like button below, and if you're listening to the audio version, if you could please rate and review it wherever you listen. Once again, this is the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast brought to you by SoRare. We are going to be off next week because of an international break, but we will be back the week after to produce some more Premier League stuff. Jordan and Ryan, thank you for that, and good luck on Saturday.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. For more great content, visit rotowire.com/soccer.